Hello and good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Claire. I am training to be a priest at Ridley Hall, and I am in my second and final year of training and will be ordained in June this year. I'm attached here at St Mary's and also at Christ Church North Ely, and I've been here for 3 years now, so it does very much feel like my home church as well. So anyway, it's my pleasure to be with you this morning and to speak with you about the reading we've just had. Actually, we're going to look a little bit at Luke's Gospel. But before we start, I wonder if we can have a quick time of quiet and a prayer to open. Lord, I pray that you take these words and speak through them to each one of us today. In your name, amen. So I wonder if you've ever needed someone or something, ever relied on someone else for help or support with anything. I'm pretty certain that the answer to this question is a definite yes. From birth to death, we rely on other people. We rely on people for nurture and for care, for food, for clothes, for energy, for transportation. And we also rely on other people for love and affection and companionship. We don't go through life on our own, and the same is true for Jesus. In this familiar Palm Sunday reading, the story is of Jesus' entry into Jerusalem. He's coming from Jericho and making his way to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. This is the week before his death and resurrection. And this probably is, for some people, a really familiar story. Often in children's Bible storybooks, you can see the big scene like we had with Dave the donkey, with the palms waving and Jesus entering on the donkey. This is Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the donkey's back as the crowds wave their palms and lay their cloaks before him. We hear once again the echoes of the angels' song that they sang at Jesus' birth, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And the chorus that the disciples and crowds are shouting coming from the Psalms which we had read earlier. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. We hear how the crowds recognize Jesus as King, the celebration and joy as they cheered him down the Mount of Olives. And this theme of joy and celebration was going to be my topic for this morning. But then the line that really jumped out at me while I was preparing the sermon was this: the Lord needs it. And it's repeated twice in our gospel reading in both verses 31 and 34. The Lord needs it. Jesus tells the disciples to go and untie a colt or a donkey. And if they get asked why they're untying it, they're to say, the Lord needs it. And slightly later on, we hear that they're challenged by the owners of the animal, and they're asked, why are you untying the donkey? And they reply, the Lord needs it. And to me, it really spoke of that dependence that Jesus had on others. He chose to rely on other people. He chose to rely on others as he prepared for this monumental week in his life and subsequently in humankind. Jesus could have done things on his own, but he didn't. He decided to rely on others. He could have been totally by himself, independent of everyone else. But he relied on his disciples to go and get the colt. He relied on the owners of the colt to release it. And he relied on the colt itself to allow him to ride on its back. Remember, this donkey, this colt, had never been ridden before. This was something that was needed. And in order for Jesus to have it, the disciples, the owners, and the colt all had to comply. So I wonder what it is that we have that the Lord needs. Have you ever felt that God has called you and your life and led you to make decisions or choices, that he's needed to use you in some special way? Sometimes when God calls on you, he asks you to do things that are totally within your comfort zone. He asks you to do things that use your gifts and your skills, and you can see exactly why it is that he's called you and asked you to do that. He asks you to do something that you're not particularly surprised about. He might call you to a job or a situation or a location or a way of life that you would have chosen for yourself, something that isn't particularly different to what you would hope for. Sometimes God calls you to do something that is well out of your comfort zone, something that you would not choose for yourself, something that might challenge you personally or financially. It might challenge you to put life events on hold, or perhaps it means that your life takes quite a different path from the one that you had chosen for yourself, or one that you might have guessed would have been yours. I was the first person in my family to get a degree, and I think I surprised everyone in my family when that happened. I think I surprised them when I filled in the form in lower sixth and announced that I'd filled in such a form and was thinking I might like to go and study further. I think I surprised them when I actually managed to get some A-levels. It had been anticipated that I would be a secretary, just like my mother before me. In fact, the only reason I took A-levels was in order to do the two-year secretarial course that ran alongside it. There I learnt shorthand and word processing, both of which are now pretty much obsolete, but I also learnt how to type, so that's been quite handy. I also surprised my family that on the Monday following the Friday of my graduation, I got onto a plane and flew to Romania. A turn of events that no one, not even myself, could probably have anticipated or predicted 6 months earlier. So in the last few months of my degree course, I, like everyone else, have been bombarded with images on the television of the children in the orphanages in Romania. And I had felt called, like hundreds of other volunteers who went out to that country, that I should perhaps do something too. I should go out and do my bit. Volunteers were flocking to that post-communist country that was still trying to find its feet. And as news footage and different media programs went in, more and more was found out about the conditions that the children were living in. And I felt very deeply and very strongly that God was calling me to go and do something, anything to try and help. So I was very much affected by these programs on television and the news footage. And much like everyone else who saw them, I couldn't help but be moved. Something inside me wanted to make me research and try and find ways in which I could go out, that I could go and help. But unfortunately, I was unqualified. I didn't have a childcare qualification, I wasn't a nurse, I wasn't a teacher at that point. And I barely knew anything about life. I wasn't really much able to look after myself, let alone looking after anybody else. But with three university friends, we all decided that we were going to go away and do our bit. As it turned out, I was the only one that actually left the country. And I can't really explain the determination that led me to take that step, to leave friends and family, to go and work in a country that, even on a good day, I couldn't reliably find on a map. With no language skills and with no childcare skills. Due to my lack of skills, I was unable to go to most of the places that were taking volunteers, but the one place that would take me was a children's hospice in the southeast of the country. So I found myself giving end-of-life care to children who had been infected by HIV through affected blood that hadn't been screened. So I was working with HIV-positive children, many of whom had gone on to develop AIDS. I couldn't have been more ill-equipped for the job. I couldn't have been more ill-prepared for what I was to see, what I was to be involved with, and what I was to endure. I couldn't have been less hopeless, helpless, or naive. But as it turns out, God doesn't always look at what we already have, or what we can do, or the skills and strengths that are already there. In fact, more and more I go through life, I'm aware that God likes to use what we don't know, what we don't have, and what we don't think we can endure, and then he gives us gentle nudges to step out into the unknown so that we can see how he works through us to show his strength. And so it was that I arrived in Bucharest one November evening in 1995. It was bitterly cold. The airport was nothing more than a hut in the middle of the runway, and I started my long journey to the hospice. It was mainly along very potholed roads and in intermittent darkness, not just because many of the villages we passed through were yet to be connected to the national grid, but also because the car headlights kept turning off. Those 3 months in Romania were some of the most challenging in my life. Things that were so very not normal soon became normal. Dealing with sickness, pain, distress, and brokenness became the norm. but moments of joy and laughter also shone through. I grew up a lot in those 3 months. I found skills and endurance that I didn't know were possible for me. I learned how to change nappies. I spent the first day putting one back to front. Those of you who don't know, the tabs go at the front. So much easier. I don't know why I thought they might go up at the back. That's not easy. I survived on a diet mainly of smashed potatoes and pork. And it was unrelenting sub-zero temperatures that really got you down. I also grew up a lot in my faith. The hospice where I volunteered was a Christian charity, and most of the volunteers who came out there were Christians, and we met twice a week for prayer and praise and services. It taught me that God was there through the tough times, and it also taught me how much I had to lean on him when I had run out of strength myself. He was a God you could depend on. But I had decided very early on in my 3 months that once I returned home, I would fulfill my parents' and everyone else's expectations. I would use my degree to get a good job, I'd get married, settle down, have a family of my own. But it would appear that God had other plans. To say that I hated my time out in Romania would probably be a bit strong, but I knew it was the last place that I wanted to return. It was somewhere that had challenged all my senses and emotions. The poverty that surrounded the hospice was extreme. The wild nature of the children was unmanageable at times. The freezing cold winter, it was so cold they had to dynamite the canal so that the ships could pass, had frozen, the ice had frozen so thickly. The bureaucracy that just surrounded everything at every layer, which made most things impossible. The long shifts working mornings, nights, and evenings at the hospice. The lack of provisions and the isolation. This was before mobile phones and before the internet. If you wanted to make a phone call home, you had to walk to the post office in the middle of town and stand in line. But I know that God had need, or I knew that God had need of me. Within a few months of returning back to England, I knew I had to go back again. I can't explain how I knew, but his gentle nudging was definitely very persistent. And I did go back, but not just once. I went at least once a year for the next 15 years, mainly for 3 months at a time, sometimes for 6 months and sometimes for nine. And once I'd trained to be a teacher, I went back in my Christmas holidays, Easter holidays, and in the summer. In fact, it took me over 12 years to get the graduate job that I had aspired towards. Sometimes when Jesus calls us, when we hear the words, the Lord needs it, we need to let go of what we're secure in and step out in faith. Just as Jesus did asking the disciples to go into the village to get the donkey, just as the owners did by letting the donkey go, and just as the donkey did by allowing Jesus to climb onto his back and make the steep descent down the Mount of Olives towards Jerusalem, with the crowd shouting and waving branches in front of him. Sometimes things are not what we think they should be, or hope they will be, or how we would like them to be. Sometimes they're in fact the opposite. But that doesn't make them wrong or failing. Sometimes that's just how God works in and through a situation, and how he might want to use each one of us. Not always in ways we anticipate or hope for or even relish, but he uses us to bring hints of his kingdom here on earth, in the small ways and in the life-changing ways. Jesus, the longed-for Messiah, the King who the crowds cheered and celebrated as he arrived into Jerusalem, would in less than a week be hanging on a cross. Not because this was his comfort zone or because it was something he was good at or even something that he wanted, but because God had need for it. Jesus was crucified so that we could be in a right relationship with God, so that we could call God Father and be forgiven and saved. I wonder how God might be using you or be calling you. What do you think it is that the Lord is asking of you? What do you think that you might need to do, need to let go of, or need to experience for the first time, even though it might scare you or make you feel uncomfortable? What might it be that the Lord is asking of you this Easter? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us to listen to your call on our lives. Help us to hear your prompting and respond to your gentle nudges. Lord, help us to always rely on you and to be willing to be used by you through what we say to others, how we act and behave, and the directions that our lives take. In your name, amen.